Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Tonight, of course, I want to hear from you. So, the number to call, 646-929-2037. Once again, because I want to hear from you, 646-929-2037 is the number. Also, because I want to hear from you, and I know some of y'all are a little too shy to call on the telephone, feel free to email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. You got anything you feel like you want to talk about, something need to be discussed, you feel like hasn't been getting the play that it should, I'm open. So hit me up, dick@smoothdrama.com. I got you. Also, keep up with me and what I got happening. Feel free. I'm on Facebook. You can social network me. You can hit me up on Facebook. I am Dick Hugger on Facebook as well as on Tag. And you can follow me on Twitter. I am Smooth Drama on Twitter. So feel free. Hit a brother up. And I got you. Follow me. I'll follow you. We can follow each other. We can holler a taste on from this to that, sneakers to hats. I'm all over the place. I can't be pigeonholed. And speaking of not being pigeonholed, I mean, we know the Super Bowl's coming up, and Thursday, the end of this week, I'm gonna give out my pick, but I might even give it out tonight. What the hell? It don't matter. Not that my Saints are in it again. But I read there's the homeless couple in Wisconsin who won Super Bowl trip to Dallas. And I'm like, I mean, and they're happy they get 2 tickets, hotel accommodation, and travel expenses. And, you know, I find it hard to believe that a homeless couple, I guess football is important. I mean, I love football. I mean, I love sports, football, basketball, tennis, track. You know, if they moving, I can watch it. If they not moving, I can't watch it. But the point is, I love sports. But if I'm homeless, the last thing on my mind is going to the damn Super Bowl. I guess because they're from Wisconsin, big Green Bay Packer fans, but you think that there'd be something else on the brain besides the damn football game? You're like, whoa! Ever since I was young, I wanted to go to the Super Bowl with the Packers playing. Yeah, kind of sad. They ain't going to the Super Bowl. I guess for some folks it's a big deal. The majority of us, we sit around with friends, whatnot, and a lot of people are into the commercials. I myself don't care. I mean, this is one of the few times that I actually watch commercials, being that I lay at the altar of the DVR. I don't really watch commercials at all, unless I'm watching a live sporting event. You know, of course, the sporting events, you'll get all kinds of commercials. Well, not all kinds. You only get, like, beer and cars. So I've probably seen every beer and car commercial known to man 1,400 times, depending on what game I was watching in what region. But y'all know what I'm talking about. It's a fact. I can't get over the fact that a homeless couple were just happy. They're living in a shelter, and they're ecstatic that they're going to the Super Bowl. And I guess it's good, but after the Super Bowl, you homeless. Can I sell these tickets? Can I sell these tickets? I mean, what, Super Bowl tickets go $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a pop? Can I trade this in? I can watch the game at the shelter. I'm sure people at the shelter will be watching it. It won't be the same, but hey, I'm thinking where my next meal coming from and where I'm going to live over a game. But that's just me. I think certain things are a little bit more important than other things. Me. But to each their own. I guess football is important. I guess. Speaking of important, it was a whole lot of folks this past weekend just going crazy because a gorilla walked upright like a man. Yeah, I know. Some folks don't give a damn. I guess there's like a lot of people who think that gorillas walking upright is big news. You can picture it in your head. There's some folks who are like, oh my God, it's the missing link. It's a gorilla that walks. Yeah, the whole folks that's on the whole evolution kick and how man has evolved from a monkey or whatnot. I'm sure they all watched it and were amazed as this gorilla was walking. I was like, it's a gorilla walking. So, see the big deal? The world going to change now. These whole arguments, evolution, creationism, however you want to call it, it's a waste of time. It's not really that important if a gorilla walks or not. I know for some people it is, but I'm sure for like the people we talked about before this, homeless folks, they probably would rather have a nice place to live, a warm bed, food to eat, as opposed to, oh my God, the implications of a gorilla walking upright. Woo! It's a gorilla walking upright. Bam, bam. That's the name, a silverback. Well, I guess it was cool because there was like 300,000 people, including myself, who went to the video to see old Am Bam walk. I was like, okay, here we go. Anyway. Now that we done got all the important stuff out the way, we always talk about people talk about Good Samaritans and whatnot and how people aren't nice to people any longer. There are still some nice people out there. It doesn't help you out. Case in point, a McDonald's employee fired for letting Adrian Peterson used the restroom. For those of you who don't know, Adrian Peterson is running back, star running back for the Minnesota Vikings. Yes, 3 a.m., the late night drive-thru shift, Adrian Peterson comes up and is like, hey, I really, 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 really need to use the restroom. So, once the woman realized who he was, She opened the door, let him come inside and use it. Use the facilities. Well, after she did that, the people at McDonald's said, no, that's, you know, you can't let folks into the restroom area when they're closed for late night drive through. So she was fired. But after the whole firestorm, people probably Adrian Peterson and his people calling in, they gave her a job back. But it just goes to show you, folks don't respect people who do nice things for people. I mean, she basically just let a star football player use the bathroom, not steal any money or anything like that. I know they're like trying to say we don't want her setting the precedent where she'll just let anybody in, but I mean, the probability that Adrian Peterson, star football player of Minnesota Vikings, would rob McDonald's, probably slim to none. But I guess you never know. He could be or could have been crazy. Oh, I can see both sides, but I'm glad she got her job back. She shouldn't have been fired in the first place. I think it should have been just talk to her. Hey, don't do that. But that's just, I guess it depends on the manager. Some folks are cool. And as we know, in the working world, there are some folks who just got asshole tattoos all over their body. Speaking of assholes, assholes beware. There is a new bill that's coming up where the lawmakers are going to require alleged stalkers to wear GPS tracking devices. Now, you imagine how crazy that will be. GPS tracking devices on alleged stalkers. Now, obviously, the conspiracy theorist in me said, oh, shit, they're going to put GPS devices on folks who are alleged stalkers. What is the criteria? Now, we know there are some folks who are just crazy as hell, and they don't need to be out in the general public. But then you'll have political dissidents, people they want to keep track of, and you're forced to wear GPS. I like it and don't like it. For the crazy folks, and we all know who the crazy folks are, yeah, but in general, in the idea that people who the government or lawmakers would call subversive, which is basically anybody who disagrees or whatever the hell they got to say, your ass is toast. You got a GPS tracker on. Y'all might want to pay attention to this one. Once again, it's something that's sitting out there, and you never know, this passes. It sounds good on the surface, but when you take the wrapper off, I mean, anybody just says you're a stalker, you have to wear a GPS device. Think about that ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend that was crazy as hell, and you was lucky to get away from them. On one hand, you're like, yeah, I can put this on them. But then on the other hand, you have that crazy boyfriend or girlfriend you're trying to get away from who is vindictive as hell, and they say that you were stalking them, and you have to wear the GPS. You know it's going to happen. because some people are just hostile like that. And on that note, I'm going to segue into my first break. This is my homie, Jay Hostile. Goodbye.
La.
Hostile, agitated, whatnot, because they feel like, oh, Black History Month, And we've all heard jokes, the shortest month of the year and all this other stuff. But actuality, Black History Month was started by the great Dr. Carter G. Woodson. If you don't know Carter G. Woodson, most folks who've done any type of studying on African-American literature history would know him as the author of The Miseducation of the Negro. Well, Carter G. Woodson was a noted historian, overall intelligent man who felt that, of course, Black history was not being talked about, studied, given its fair due, meaning that we were invisible in history. So he set out and established the Journal of Negro History, and then 1926, he launched the Negro History Week, which was the beginning, the initiative to bring national attention to the contribution of Black people throughout American history. So from there, it was made into Black History Month. Now, what people don't know, and I mean, I've talked about it before, but it bears mentioning again, that Carter G. Woodson chose February because it was for Frederick Douglass, because Frederick Douglass' birthday is February the 20th. That was the main motivation for choosing February, because he wanted to honor Frederick Douglass for all that Frederick Douglass had done and what he represented. So, in a nutshell, that is how Black History Month, the origin, the etymology of it. Now, what upsets me about February, this time of the year, whatnot, is the fact that people are like, oh, it's February and we got, everybody's Black in February. And I'm like, I'm kind of casual with it because, one, I know my history very, very well. I'm a historian at my heart, and I'm Black all year, and Black all my life, 365, 24/7. So, for me, I mean, I see February as just another month, in understanding that February is important to a lot of people, because there are a lot of people who aren't as well read. Not to say that I'm putting myself up there like I'm a intellectual, pseudo-intellectual, whatnot. But I read a little bit. So, for me, I see it as if people learn something this month, cool. But, knowledge is only as good as how it's applied. And for some folks, I believe somebody smart, I don't know who said it, so I can't quote no names, but somebody smart once said, if you don't know the history, you're bound to repeat its mistakes. So I think it's very important that folks know their history. Matter of fact, everybody's history, so you can kind of understand cycles. Because there's one thing that we know for sure, that there's nothing new under the sun. I know y'all heard that too. it has definitely met new under the sun. So something happening now, it's already happened before, and you just got to know the signs and understand what it is and where it's going, where the trend is going. So I look at it as this is important, and it's important to some people, but I think what's really, really important, not just having the knowledge and not just spitting knowledge and facts out at people, but you know, when you talk to people and you're understanding that you may be a little bit more well-read than others, you know, just be natural to folks. I think what happens, and I know I was guilty of this at one time, you get a little knowledge yourself, and you get to preaching to folks and preaching at folks instead of just talking to people. I mean, because folks are receptive to getting knowledge, but I don't think folks are receptive to being preached at and condescended to. And I think that's what happens a lot of times when we talk about so-called pseudo-intellectuals. I mean, you know, there was, when this was going on, when Carter G. Woodson actually started this, America was going through a transformation, a slight transformation towards knowledge, and there were two camps. There was a Marcus Garvey camp who was about skills and being able to do something for yourself and bring yourself up by your bootstraps and having skills and being able to take care of your community, understanding that this was during the time of Jim Crow. Then there was the W.E.B. Du Bois camp, who were, we should be included in the American infrastructure, should be able to go to the schools, and should be in the intellectual, and he believed in that principle of the talented tenth, whatnot. Now, for me, I believe in knowing things. There's a good thing in knowing things, but there's another thing in knowing things that you can do practically to better your life. I mean, the carpentry skills, the being able to do things that you can use everyday practical life, those are very important skills to have. I mean, it's no good to be an intellectual and all you know is how to quote facts. Oh, you can't sew nothing. You know, you can't cook anything, you know nothing about growing, any kind of carpentry work, how to do basic things to take care of yourself. You know, the whole life skills. Life skills are very important. You know, it's probably one of the breakdowns in community life, because you'll have folks who are, one, will have a lot of so-called knowledge of self, but put them in the kitchen or in the house and they have to do things for themselves and have no clue. And then you'll have folks who will just shun knowledge altogether, but in the cultural landscape that we have today, the cultural landscape is set where people have no kind of collective skills, whatnot, And when I say collective skills, I mean we're talking about, one, culturally, folks just don't know how to act. And when I say don't know how to act, you know, the manners and things of that nature, it's all gone. And I won't say totally gone, but it has been eroded to where we're at a level of ignorance where we talked about it before, and it's ad nauseum, where we celebrate, and this has been going on for a while, but we're at a level where we celebrate ignorance. And as President Obama pointed out, we should be cheering on the science student as opposed to the Super Bowl champion. But as we all know, more people will be glaring at the Super Bowl and basically giving big ups and props and praise to folks who say the majority of them aren't too smart. We celebrating a bunch of guys that aren't that intelligent. I mean, and this is not to demean football players or athletes in general, but we all know that a lot of times they get by because of their athletic gifts. And, I mean, how many stories do we have to read and hear about you? Bo Jackson, Dexter Manley, guys who could barely read and write, but because they were so supremely talented, they was pushed through because it made the schools money. And so you won't pigeonhole all athletes and say that they are all unintelligent, but I'll take a rough guesstimate that it's more of them who are not that smart, not that bright, then there are those that are bright, which is why we see a high, high rate of athletes who, you know, you see they've made millions of dollars and they end up broke. And a lot of times you see it and folks are like, why? How did that happen to you? It's real easy. Because they weren't intelligent in the first place, you know. And intelligence is not about what you learn in the book. I mean, obviously there's street smarts, whatever. But then there's the common sense, and then there's the life skills part, and the value system. What's important? I mean, I always brag about I got pinky rings. I got a tiger pinky ring. I got elephant pinky ring. My jewelry is not the bling bling of the day. And the point is, what I value, I mean, like, I've got a treasure cove of books. I've got an inordinate amount of books, which to me is worth more than any shiny rock anywhere. But it's all in what people think is important and what is not important. And so I kind of got off track here a little bit, but I think it's kind of in the same ballpark. When we talk about Black History Month, and I talked to etymology, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, and why he started, because people should know their history. So they will have self-worth and know that they contributed something, and that you look back in history and you don't see yourself. I mean, you used to always talk about how in the Flintstones, didn't see any Black folks, in the Jetsons, you didn't see any Black folks, so there's no Black folks in the past or in the future. I know for some folks, they say it's no big deal, but it kind of is. You kind of would like to see yourself represented. I don't think there's anybody who don't think of that they should be represented. And that's what Black History Month is. Just us being represented. You see us? We did a little something. We here. Fell into some hard times just a little bit, but persevered, and we still here, and it's all good. And that's it. Speaking of hard times, though, I was reading. There's a historic black church in Georgia now facing foreclosure. The oldest black church in DeKalb County had to recently shut its doors after facing foreclosure proceedings where they fell behind on a mortgage of $6,500 every month. Now, I'm like, so what? I'm the exact opposite. And it's not about not liking religion. I think that these mega churches, these million-dollar churches, I'm not feeling it. And I don't know how folks can feel it. You justify paying all of this money to glorify the Lord. You're not glorifying the Lord. You're not. The prettiest buildings, whatnot, that's all for your vanity. So for me, this is the oldest church. It's over 150 years old. Hey, whatever. I know it sounds cold and cruel, but I'm thinking that if you are to be a real, true spiritual person, I think God would love you worshiping in the park, because it's not about the building. I thought it was supposed to be about the congregation. So you worshiping in the building, hey, what? It's the people, not the building, not these million-dollar complexes, multi-million-dollar churches spreading the gospel to the world. Garbage. You know, I think meet in the park. And if it's raining, get a big giant gazebo. I'm playing. No, I'm not. I just think that you've incorporated the religion. I mean, religion is big business. I mean, hell, the Vatican is a nation unto itself. They don't play. They're a nation. Churches don't pay taxes. Churches can have representatives who break the law and don't go to jail because they are, quote unquote, on another level, men of God, women of God. No. Well, I won't say women of God, because obviously the church is not down for women in no kind of position of spiritual authority. For some strange reason, I guess women just aren't equal to men, whatnot, when it comes to God. I don't know. But I'm not the one putting the rules up. But I digress here. I'm just saying that I thought God would love you no matter what. Not dressed up going to church. In your finest gear, honoring the Lord. I know we keep saying we're honoring God, but I don't see it. I think you're honoring yourself. That's my understanding. That's my interpretation. You can agree to disagree with me. I can respect that. But if you're listening to this, and you want to make a comment on it, feel free. You can call me, 646-929-2037, Or you can email me, dickatsmoothdrama.com. Or as I stated earlier, you can Facebook me or tag me. I'm Dick Hugger on Facebook and on tag. And you can follow me on Twitter, Smooth Drama. Let me know what's on your mind. I'd love to hear from you. And on that note, I'm going to move on and take my second commercial break here. This is Ross Cos off his album, Adidas, All Day I Dream About Spitting. This is I Am Legend.
Shout out to Donnie Bo, got at Gorilla Press. Shout out to Mingo Danger, shout out to Mr. Left. Shout out to Advent, shout out J211. Shout out to Moe and Cozy, they'll tell you I am legend. Shout out to Tip and Miko, my Batiste family. Rest in peace, Mercedes Pryor. Rest in peace, Chelsea Daniel. Remember Holocaust, remember 9/11, but remember slavery too. Remember I am legend. That's the realest shit I ever wrote. Written right after I spoke the illest shit they never quote. If we broke, we eating cancer sick, so let me clear my throat. But don't kill us, make it strong, so what you hear is hope. You need a ghost, spit the purest dope. I ain't a flow man. I will push your shit back like Leno and Conan. And I don't need no fans. Write a verse with five fingers stapled together like, look ma, no hands. This Godzilla versus Rodan, you can be fly all day, but the boy spits flame. And it's funny how people get a taste of the fame. Crowds chanting their name, but all they do is complain. Like everybody changed, it's strange. On private planes doing interviews, claiming they wish everything was just the same. But when the spotlight fades and they get what they wish, they wanna keep living in the past and start slitting their wrists. You kicked out of the five heartbeat. JTC, I made Rascals, ain't no company made me. My talent speak for itself, not hype from a label. When they took away the facade, my reality remained stable. They took away the radio, took away the videos. Couldn't take away my talent, quarterback, I'm pretty though. So I still pulled the pretty hole, feet planted on the ground. Who you see on your way up, you see on your way down. I'm all hip hop, I keep rappers on smash and underground hip hop. I'm all excess pass with two dope boys in a smoking section. Crowd hype, cause I got baller status, double XL, you're not right. I'm like the dub CNN, I speak Cali news. Hang with West Coast riders, got Cali views. But I'm a world star, travel exclusive zone on tour. So every day I wake up, show. Glacial your face, your ice grill, and you can hate me more. Cause I stay spinning and I'll fuck you up like Maceo. So fuck what so-and-so in the magazine said. Cause half my favorite MCs is already dead. Shout out to Bear Report, shout out the Daily Show. They play the wackest songs, so fuck the radio. Shout out Hip Hop DX, shout out to Mandela. Shout out to Chill O'Neal, remember I am legend. Shout out to Hip Hop Game, shout out to Hip Hop Site, Battlestar Galactica, shout out to Family Guy. One love to all my sisters, one love to all my brethren. Shout out to Zoo Life, nigga, remember I am legend.
Together you gotta be smooth, drummer, smooth, drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Ross Cos, I Am Legend, off his latest album, Adidas, All Day I Dream About Spitting. You know, I probably would dream about spitting all day too if I actually could rap, but alas, I am terrible. Well, probably not terrible, just awful. Unlike some folks, I'm realistic. I know me grabbing the mic and rhyming more than like, pike, bike, and dyke. I can't go no further. And I'm cool with that. My lack of rhyme skills. It's all right. speaking to lack of skills. I don't know if y'all keeping up with it, but I am, as always. I'm intrigued by world events, especially the one going on over there in Egypt, where President Hosni Mubarak tells his nation in a pre-recorded speech that he won't seek re-election but intends to complete his term. Now, for those of you who, I guess you never turn on the news, whatnot, you know that over in Egypt, they are in the middle of a serious revolt protest where the people are out there on the streets calling for old-ass Mubarak to get up out of there. 82 years old, he's run the country into the ground, and the folks are tired of it. So they're out there in the streets. Now, the funny thing that happened during this insurrection was, what does Egypt do? He cracks down on the internet and mobile phones, social networking sites, all that, who have been condemning Egypt and the Egyptian authorities and organizing rallies using those social networks and the mobile phones, internet. They just cut all that off. They killed it all. So in 24 hours, like 97% of Egyptian internet traffic just died on the vine. Now, some folks would say, well, a conspiracy theorist like myself would say, wow. I mean, wasn't that something that Hillary Clinton was in favor of, the internet kill switch? Because supposedly the internet is so dangerous, and just in case there is some terrorist, quotation mark, terrorist activities, we can shut down the internet and stop them from damaging whatever, hearing whatever bullshit excuses they give. Now, I find it quite intriguing, and odd at the same time that we have the internet cut off so that the folks who are organizing through the internet and their cell phones, because don't forget they cut off the cell phones too in that area, they can't organize. Also, even more important, you can't mobily upload some of the bullshit that's going on over there. Because, see, for me, I think that is the number one objective. Because, obviously, you don't want folks to know how cruel and unusual you are. So, you cut the internet. So, under the guise of, oh, well, we were stopping the activists. But also, just regular folks who can upload abuses being perpetrated by the government against its citizens can't be shown now. Now, I don't know. You think that's important? I think it's very, very important because, obvious reasons, if it can happen there, it can happen here. You get what I'm saying? You think about if ever we got to a time, the whole understanding of history, where you thought the government was oppressive, sort of like our forefathers thought the British government was too oppressive. They protested against them. Now, under the system and the structure that we have now, with the ability to conduct martial law much easier here in the United States, how you say, Dick? How can they conduct martial law easier now? One, think about it. If they cut the internet and your cell phones, nobody can see what's going on. You're in the blackout all of a sudden. You know, we are married to our technology. Hell, I do an internet talk radio show. Hello? We're gone. There's no uploading information, no uploading no videos to get to no news stations, none of that. All that's gone. Also, you know, we started off the show talking about people in their sports and how much they love their sports. Think about this. Every state and the majority of the cities have the big cities in particular, where the majority of the population, where the majority of the population is situated. We have football, basketball, baseball stadiums. Now, I think some people have a faint recollection of history when you was in school and they talked about the internment camps for the Japanese during World War II, where the Japanese, after the Japanese American citizens here were put into concentration camps while we were at war with the homeland of Japan for national security reasons, of course. Property was taken, all that. Imagine if you have something along those lines that happens here. You deem this population as dangerous, whatnot, and we need martial law so that we can put everything back in order. Anybody who gets unruly, get put in a stadium. No problem. I mean, remember the days of Martin Luther King and the marches? They started the transition to stopping those mass marches, because those marches went along the lines of what Gandhi did, where Gandhi figured had so many people, they couldn't afford to arrest everybody. And so you can't arrest everybody, you overflood the jails, and it's just too many people. So 21st century architects figure, hey, we need to circumvent that. Thus, you have now stadiums everywhere. And if you get protesters getting a little unruly, out their mind, put them in the stadium. Lock the doors. Can't get out. What can you do? I know for some, you can't see us getting to that place. But is it that far-fetched? I know they had the movie Denzel Washington was in The Siege, where this happened to Arab Americans, people who look like Arabs. Is that far-fetched? Really, is it far-fetched? I mean, you look once again at what's happening in Egypt now. The electronic blackout is the most comprehensive blackout of its kind. We can't communicate with one another. You're just mouth to mouth. What can you do? I don't know if folks think about stuff like that. Probably not. But it's sitting out there. You might want to think about it wherever you at. If you're not in this country, you're in another country. Hey, it could happen to you too. It's not out of the question. On that note, as always, I like to end the show talking about the people and things that are hilarious and don't make sense whatsoever. Not that that made sense what I was talking about, right? Anyway, there's a man, 27 years on the run, convicted robber who escaped from Florida Work Release Center in 1983. Been doing good, been gone for 27 years. How did they catch on me? Homie gets caught using the bathroom in public. Edwin Nathan Jr., he walked out of Tampa Community Correctional Center August 27, 1983. Then just disappeared off the set. Changed his name. Changed it to Claude Brooks. And from there, he was working, he was doing his thing. What happened? Gets caught peeing. They hook him up, do his fingerprints, and bam, they catch him. Edwin Nathan Jr. escaped 27 years ago. Now, why am I ending with this? Well, think about it. Right now, because we're in the economic hole, the police are out there in force. I mean, they are really out there in force. They are looking for anything, jaywalking tickets, whatever. You have to be correct. You have to be so correct now. Because they will pull you over and give you a ticket for anything. I'm on the freeway. I'm doing 65. Maybe 66, and I'm scared. Don't want them tickets, because they'll give it to you with no hesitation. And the importance of that is, there's going to be some injustices. And as we know, people who aren't on the high end will pay in our injustice tax because we're not on the high end. We're not high on the hog. So people be careful wherever you at, because it doesn't matter what city, county, borough, parish, city, well, I said city, state, nation, they coming for you. They want that money. And as we know, money is the root of all evil. At least that's what somebody smarter than me once said. And on that note, I want to thank y'all all for listening. And Black History Month, throw your fists up. Something like that. Well, feed your mind. Free your mind and your ass will follow. Literally. On that note, I'm Dick Hugger, Smooth Drop, and I'm out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth.
Drama.